The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is Korea 360 on Money FM 89.3. We look at the labour and manpower sector here in Singapore, also your career and lifelong learning. Now, work is becoming less structured these days, and as a result, that brings uncertainty. It's also becoming more varied. Talk about the gig economy, etc. So Ian Lee, who is the CEO Asia Pacific of the Adebco Group, feels that people need to act together. Stakeholders, meaning perhaps the government, perhaps businesses as well, and the individual. It's time for collective decision-making on the future of work. What needs to be done at what level, and how can we future-proof our careers? Let's find out from Ian. Ian, thanks so much for coming today.
Thank you, Howie.
It feels a little dire, I've got to admit, as the individual worker. Everything is so uncertain these days. What needs to be done, you think?
I think a lot of things needs to be done, and I think it needs to be done by different parties, not just the worker.
So it's not just the responsibility of government, just the responsibility of large businesses. Everyone's got to have a stake.
Yeah, everyone got to have a stake. And I think one thing that is fairly certain is that in the future, there's so much of uncertainty. I think it's very difficult to predict the future right now. We can look at some mega trends, but it is actually getting more and more difficult to predict. If you think about 20 years ago, in the US, there's a big retailer selling books called Barnes & Nobles. It's no longer around.
We have seen that on a smaller scale too here in Singapore.
Right. But things are actually happening on a bigger scale. Plus, there are also other factors that are in play right now, which are even bigger, like geopolitical. Just think about what's happening in the last 10 days on the trade talks.
Mm.
The problems with trades across the world, it's actually having an impact to everybody, and it's also impacting jobs in the future. And think about skills and skills gap. You can actually know, what we can know is that there is going to be skill gaps. But what gaps are there if we really did not know what futures lies?
That's true. That is also a concern. Because so much has been said by the Singapore government for us to reskill, retrain, upskill as well. But there's the fear of, what if I go and learn something and then just in a short couple of weeks, couple of months, 1 year, that skill becomes obsolete? Then what's the point, right, Ian? Yes. So let's talk about the future of work. This term sometimes I think confuses people. Is it just what work will be like in the future? How do we define it?
The phrase of a future of work, it's sort of, we try to do the best prediction. I think the prediction is not necessarily going to be completely accurate, because you are actually predicting a lot of unknown. Because one of the biggest driver that's going to affect futures of works is actually going to be technology. And at this point of time, I can also tell you, if somebody go to universities and study computer science, they will basically be learning the language of now. But the language of now not necessarily is the computer language for the future. Even going to get a university degrees can be obsoleted very, very quickly. So how are we going to predict all those things? I think when we talk about future of work, it's more of a movement in terms of what needs to be done from the government standpoint, and what needs to be done by the company standpoints, and also what needs to be done by the individual standpoint. Because, for example, individual will not be able to stay put like what we have done many, many years ago. When I came into my first job, I knew that 30 years ago, I knew that probably there's a likelihood that this types of jobs is going to be my future. So you can predict. But right now, for somebody that comes out from school, the things that he do, probably 5 years later, the job might not exist. You think about jobs like cybersecurity experts or cybersecurity analysts. These types of job was not in existence 10 years ago.
That's the issue, though, with people, say, in our generation, Ian, Generation X, we had this iron rice bowl mentality, and we sort of had a certainty that we could do this job for the next 20 to 30 years. And you're saying that's not possible for a young and coming out of university today. So what of this kind of uncertainty that we can get more certain about, if you will, at the risk of getting existential? Really, what can we do? So for this poor 22-year-old who is coming out of university with the uncertain future ahead of him, I will not have this job in 3 years, 5 years. What should I do?
There's also something that we also need to clarify. Technological advances, changes, and all those things are important, but does not mean that you need to be technologically savvy to survive.
Okay.
We saw a lot of things like AI, improving technology, Industrial 4.0 and all those things. I just give you an example. I was in a plant, I would say 24 months ago. It was a plant that is operating on a 24 hours continuous basis. It's basically dark, means no lights. What does it mean? There's no operator on the plant, okay?
Okay, fully automated.
It's fully automated. Yeah. You know, everything is controlled actually at the control center. But AI can do a lot of things, but AI are not human. AI has no emotions. You know, there are things that are important for the futures as we think about the futures. I think humanity is also important. I think creativity is also important. You need to have the basics, understanding of technology in order not to be obsolete. Those are also very, very important. So it's not like, okay, the future is this, let's jump into technology very, very quickly. You know,
so you're saying there is maybe a misconception that, oh, we're Industry 4.0, technology disruption, that it is all about tech and jobs will all be about tech.
Yes, I think jobs is not going to be all about tech. Tech job potentially is one that you need to constantly upgrade yourself. But I think there are also going to be non-tech jobs that require human judgment and human decision making.
Let's talk about how society's stakeholders can act together, and in agreement is the key, right? What does that ideal situation look like, Ian?
If you think about stakeholders, basically, Ken said, there are actually three groups of stakeholders over here. One is actually government. One will be what I call organization or companies or corporates, big or small. Then I think the other one will be individuals. The role of the government is more on a macro level rather than a micro level. I think predicting what are the future, I think there are big data that I think the government can see clearer. Like, for example, very good example is that our Singapore government is doing a lot of things in terms of subsidizing individuals to upskill themselves so that they will not get obsolete. So this is based on their prediction that there's a, you know, shortage of certain types of jobs. Singapore government is also helping people who get laid off. Okay, but then if you think about the companies, for a company, actually laying off people is very expensive, because if you get new people in,
you have to retrain them.
Training is one thing, but understanding the corporate culture, knowing how the business is run and all those things is also important. So I think training, upskilling people, reskilling people in a company, in a corporate is also important. I think the Singapore government, again, is an example, because we were actually going through and look around the world. Singapore is actually in the forefront of this area. Then individual will also play a very important role. Individual will also needs to understand that nothing is static from now. So I think all these trees are important. Then there's also, as we move into the futures, more and more young people, when they come into the workplace or to work, they have actually different thinking about work. 9 to 5 might be things of a past. They want to work at their own time. They want to take sovereignty in terms of their time. So those are, I would say, new mega trend that's also affecting what you call the gig economy.
So this is something organizations need to take note of in the way that the new workforce is going to be doing work.
Not just organization, Howie. If you think about this, as a freelancer, for us in Singapore, the biggest things will be the social security net. You are young, you probably will not be thinking a lot about your CPF,
mortgage,
you know, and all those things.
Yeah.
So when you get to a certain level, if you're going to buy a house, you need to have a mortgage. You need to have certain proof that you have some social security safety net. And I think that actually the government will have to play a role in terms of how the making sure that all these people doing these types of work can be protected in a certain way.
Is it just a generational youth thing, this want for time sovereignty? Would it then be fair to say the people most in danger would be perhaps people in our generation who are used to the 9 to 5 and had expected the decades-long jobs?
It's not just youth, okay? I think it's also culture and it's also mindset. I think in the past, for my generation, not your generations, okay? You're younger, much younger.
You'd be surprised, Ian.
In our generation, I think a lot of things, we just take it and we take it as a sacrifice. So if you are working, you have to work these types of hours, you know, and all those things. You have to, if you are working, you have to be working in a specific workplace. Okay, I think a lot of things have changed, or else WeWorks, like Grab, will not have
co-working spaces, flexi time.
So with this in mind, I think there are a lot of things that is changing on a macroeconomic standpoint or the environmental standpoint that actually enable flexibilities. I think it's not just generation. I think it's not just generational. I think it's also, it's driven by technology. It's enabled by a lot of other things.
So suffice to say, the best piece of advice would be embrace change.
I would say, you know, embrace change. Although I also can say that we actually did not know what are the changes coming.
But then
coming.
Again, what to embrace, right? If we don't know what the change is.
Right.
True.
So I think it's a mindset thing. I think really, truly, it's a mindset thing. I think the people that is coming into the workplace need to have that mindset. But I think for us, it's also very important for people that the parents of the people that's going to be in the workforce in the future to be able to understand that it's not, the world is different versus how you grew up.
Ian Lee is CEO Asia Pacific at the ADECO Group. You can check them out at adeco.com.sg. That is ADECCO.com.sg. Ian, it's been a pleasure.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.